And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn in them with me to Colossians chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 17 of Colossians chapter 3. We've been in the book of Acts. I've been preaching a sermon series through the book of Acts, but we're going to make a detour today with this Thanksgiving holiday upon us. It's one of the great character traits that Christians should strive for is thankfulness. So we'll preach to this end today and be looking in Colossians chapter 3. The real focus will be on verses 15 through 17, and frankly, the latter half of 15 through 17. And then if you really even want to get more specific, just a single word or single concept that you see three times in 2.5 verses there in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Of course, the concept is thankfulness, gratefulness. So from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, we will read. And if you're able, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these too you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Lord, we ask now that you might open our eyes, that we might behold wonderful things from this your word. And it's through Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. And the children are at this time free to be dismissed for children's Bible lesson. I think it's through age 9 or something like that. Of course, Thanksgiving is what is upon us immediately, but right around the corner is Christmas, a time where we remember particularly the great gift of the Lord Jesus given to us. And in response to that and symbolizing that, we give gifts to each other. Perhaps you have already been purchasing some gifts. We were at Target last night and my wife Lisa picked up a couple of things. So you've already been at it, I'm sure, just like we have. We as a people, we love gifts, don't we? Most of us wouldn't ever think about declining a gift. Now, in some cultures, you're supposed to decline, you know, three times or something like that before they really accept it. And it's just known, really, we've got a little bit of that here. And we say when somebody gives you a gift, oh, you shouldn't have. Or you didn't have to do that. You know, we're really excited about the gift, but we know that the proper thing is to say, well, you didn't have to do that, or, you know. There are times, of course, when a gift might be given that you would need to decline, that you would need to reject. You know, a gift that's given as a romantic overture when you're not having a mutual interest there, that would be a time. A gift given, especially if it was along those lines and it was maybe in a workplace, in an office environment, that would be something to decline. Gifts of a sexual nature should be declined. A pet, you know, the gift of a pet or something that that you just don't want to take care of or can't take care of right now, that would be one of those where you need to decline. Here's an interesting one, though. What about when you receive a gift from someone and from your perspective it's way beyond what they really have the resources to give? You're very shocked that the lavishness of their gift given to you in light of what you maybe know about their financial situation. What do you do in those situations? That's a tough call, isn't it? That can be a very tough call. Thankfully, though, with the Lord, that's never the case. Because He never runs out of resources. He is always lavish in His gifts. He is generous. He is generous beyond words. He has unlimited resources. And while some people may appear to have more money than they can spend on this earth, God makes their seemingly unlimited resources look tiny. So that's my theme for the sermon today, really. We've got to quit insulting God by rejecting His gifts. We need to appreciate His gifts, be thankful for them. And the reality is when we say no to His gifts, we're kind of insulting Him. We must be grateful, must thank God for His gifts. Again, three times in these 2.5 verses, we read about giving thanks. And when you see something that's mentioned in the Bible over and over again, there's a reason for that. God is trying to get our attention. And very likely the fact that He keeps saying this about giving thanks means that He knows that we are tempted to be an ungrateful people, to forget and not give thanks to the Lord. So really, I've just got 2 points for you this morning. Number one, we insult God's generosity when we demean His material gifts. We're insulting His generosity when we demean His material gifts. Now, the things listed in this passage in Colossians chapter 3 are for us, we might think of them as being sort of like spiritual gifts. You know, you've been raised with Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, things of that nature. Wonderful spiritual blessings. They really are amazing, wonderful spiritual blessings. And I'll say more about them here in just a moment. But we tend to think, as Christians, that those are the only sorts of things we're really supposed to be thankful for. But when you get to verse 17, you see this, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father." So Paul moves from talking about all these maybe abstract concepts, these spiritual blessings. He moves into the very concrete, very material, very practical things that we need to be thinking about and giving thankful for and giving thanks for. You know, you think about it. You just prayed a few minutes ago in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Which is a way of recognizing that we are a people who have needs. We have material needs. And you go to the Lord asking for His provision. God made us physical beings. And we can't be so spiritual that we don't need to eat. We can't be so spiritual that we don't need to pray for actual physical bread. You live in a body. And God made us to live in bodies. So don't think that the only thing that matters is the soul. God loves stuff. He loves bodies. He loves food. He loves the sounds of birds, the sounds of construction going on across the street. He loves the moving of dirt, the programming of computers. He loves those things, and having stuff then is not a sin. When you reject, though, his material gifts, it's sort of a way of saying, God, really the only thing that matters is the soul, the spiritual. But God made all this stuff. You know, we oftentimes will think that it's shallow to give thanks to God for a new sweater. Now, you know, the only things I should really thank God for are if I'm really going to be deep and if I'm really going to be profound and spiritual, then I've got to thank God for His frowning providence, like sickness or job loss or the death of a loved one or something like that. If I'm really spiritual and righteous, that's the kind of stuff I need to give thanks for, not for a new sweater. It's no more shallow to give thanks to God for a new sweater than it is to thank God for His frowning providences, you know, like the sickness or loss or whatever. When I was on staff with Campus Outreach a long time ago, it was just that it was funny what would happen. This would be late 80s, early 90s, and so of course Ray-Ban sunglasses are back in, which I guess we'd all wish we'd kept our Ray-Bans from the 80s because they're back in now. But you know, whenever somebody showed up on staff, when you're on Campus Outreach staff, you didn't actually take vows of poverty, but it was sort of an unspoken thing that you couldn't have any nice stuff because that meant that you were spending money on frivolous things. You really weren't concerned about souls. And so whenever somebody showed up with a new shirt or a new pair of Ray-Bans or something, then we always had to qualify it. Well, this was given to me. So essentially we're saying, I wouldn't have spent my money, you know, on something so frivolous and materialistic like this. This was a gift to me. That's the type of thinking that the Lord and that I'm saying to you this morning. We've got to get beyond that. Whatever you do, in word or deed, give thanks to God the Father for it all. One writer says this: just because some people make material things the focus of God's gifts or the sum of God's blessings does not mean material things are not God's blessings. Well, they are. I mean, just because some people are bad stewards of those material blessings or selfish stewards with God's abundance doesn't mean that His abundance is a bad thing. He provides for His people. And when we demean, really just as a matter of principle, when we demean the material things that God has provided us, we're essentially insulting His generosity. And when we do that, when we demean the gift, we're ultimately demeaning Him, insulting Him. So don't feel guilty when God has blessed you in some material way. God is infinite. He is eternal. He is unchangeable. And in His wisdom, He has ordained that you're going to live where you live at the time. You live in 2019. And the material blessings that we have, and in these United States, the material blessings that we have, the parents that you have or had, the education, the skill set. I mean, it's just amazing, the material blessings. Don't reject those. Don't demean those. The Lord has provided those for you. So we shouldn't feel guilty for such blessings. When we do, we're really insulting God. Now, I will say this. You should feel guilty if you're hoarding God's blessings, if you're squandering God's blessings. But we should never feel guilty that God has blessed us. So don't insult God by demeaning His gifts. Having things is not a sin. Dismissing those things, rejecting all those things, is not necessarily godly self-denial. Matter of fact, it can really be sort of just opposing, appearing righteous and super spiritual. We read in 1 Timothy 6:17 that God is the one who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So don't insult God by demeaning His gifts. Now, an application point then for this would be for us to work on a thankfulness posture. A thankfulness posture. So that might mean, as far as application is concerned, that you need to pray against pessimism. You need to pray against grumpiness. Pray against seeing, always seeing the glass as half full. Appreciate God's blessings. You also need to pray against self-righteousness and thinking that I'm really spiritual if I don't have anything nice. So pray against that. Some of us might recognize that our some of the depression or anxiety that we have is the result of having an ungrateful spirit. Maybe need to go get some counseling, get some therapy for that. Some of us need to make a daily list of things for which to give thanks. Make it a part of your daily devotion, your quiet time, to look over a thankfulness list. Whenever I started using the PrayerMate app, maybe a year ago, 9 months ago, something like that, which is really, it's just revolutionized my prayer life. And one of the things I have in there is my prayer, or my thankfulness list. And it comes up every day. I see it and I look through that, and it's just been wonderful. Maybe some of you should put to memory some scripture, like Psalm 107. Thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds and songs of joy. That's 107, Psalm 107, verses 21 and 22. Maybe that's something, that's a way of applying it. Is I'm going to put to memory some of God's word about thankfulness. Maybe you need an accountability partner. That'd be another way to put this into practice, an accountability partner to pray for you to have greater gratefulness and thankful spirit. Now this week, you're going to have an opportunity to sit around the table with some family and friends, maybe some questions that would, I'll give you a couple of suggestions for questions that might help stir up a spirit of thankfulness in your own heart and in others. One question would be, who was the most influential person or organization in your life or career this past year, for which you should be thankful? Maybe that answering that question would be some good discussion. Or maybe another one would be, if you could go back and do one thing differently this year, what would that be? In other words, what I'm saying there is, what do you thank God for teaching you or showing you that you have learned this last year? Number three, another question. What brought you the most joy this year for which you can thank God? And then maybe another one would be, what is your top priority for the coming year for which, again, you can thank God for the opportunity, top priority for the coming year? So again, let's don't insult God by rejecting His gifts. Let's pray. Let's work toward a thankfulness posture. And then secondly, finally, number two, we insult God's generosity when we demean His free grace. Not only when we demean His material blessings, His material gifts, but when we demean His free grace. Now, this passage in Colossians, it tells us to be thankful. It tells us to do things with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Verse 17, that we're to be giving thanks. These are commands that are sometimes thought of as imperatives in the Bible. Do this, don't do that, be this way, don't be that way. And so it's very applicable, very concrete, very practical. But don't forget the order here. These imperatives in verses 15, 16, and 17 come after the indicatives of verses 1 through 15. The indicatives are verse 1, you're raised with Christ. Verse 3, we have died and our life is hidden with Christ and God. Verse 4, we will appear with Him in glory. Verse 9, we have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Verse 12, we are God's chosen ones. Verse 13, the Lord has forgiven us. Verse 15, the peace of Christ rules in our hearts. And of course, it rules in our hearts, the peace of God does, because His wrath is no longer on you because it fell on Jesus. And so we have all these things for which we are, these indicatives, these spiritual blessings, all these things that we have in Christ. Thankfulness should always flow out of what God has done. So you don't just sort of work up sort of an abstract thankfulness. It's flowing from all these things that God has done. And what you need to notice is, He did all these things before you ever gave thanks for them. I mean, all these things that I just listed, they're ours, and they're not what God has done for you in response to your thankfulness. You know, we tend to think, I'm in charge. I'm in charge of everything. I'm in charge of grace. I'm in charge of God. I'm in charge of how He dispenses His gifts. And if I'm good, then I will get His gift. And if I'm bad, I won't. And so what that implicitly leads us to think is that giving thanks is a prerequisite for grace. I get the credit when that's the case for grace, if I have any grace, when I'm thinking that way. And so let me say it in a provocative sort of Steve Brown sort of way. What this means is that you don't have to give thanks. Now, you will give thanks when you realize what all God has done. But in order to get God's blessing, you don't have to give thanks. If you did, none of us would ever have God's blessing. Because none of us come to God first saying, thank you. We come to God saying, help me. Save me. I'm a sinner. I'm messed up in every way. And then it's after the blessings come our way, the salvation that comes in Christ, that we return and give thanks. So again, you don't have to give thanks to be made right with God. Being made right with God is not dependent upon whether or not you met the thankfulness quota. Whether God looked in your heart and saw that you finally got to this certain percentage of thankfulness in your heart. Okay, now I can dispense them some grace because they've finally reached the quota. In that sense, again, we don't have to be grateful. We don't have to be thankful. Because the reality is, you're never going to be grateful enough. You're never going to be thankful enough. God's grace supersedes, it overcomes your lack of thankfulness. And for that, we're very thankful. What did Jesus say on the cross? He said a number of things. But one of the things He said is, it is finished. The work of Christ is accomplished. And He said that when there were not all these people gathered around giving thanks for what He was doing at that very moment. Again, the work of Jesus is not dependent upon you receiving high enough marks in the subject of giving thanks. It is finished. And as you eat this week, as you feast this week, be reminded that the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb, it will be set regardless. It will be set regardless of whether we have thanked God enough. So enjoy your forgiveness. Enjoy the blessings of God. Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday and your feast. Let us pray. Lord, we do pray that You would help us to become a people who recognize all of the incredible blessings that have come our way before we were ever thankful. Lord, we certainly want to be thankful people. We want to respond to Your gifts, Your generosity, Your blessings. We want to respond to that with thankful hearts and thankful actions, with gratefulness. But help us remember that it's not those things that gets Your grace, that gets Your favor. The Lord Jesus has earned that favor for us. Help us remember that and to rest in that, especially this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If the Lord has used this time today to stimulate your thinking, I'd love a chance to get to know you a little bit better and have some conversation. Please feel free to reach out to me in whatever way is comfortable for you. You can come by the office, or I'll buy you lunch, or just a cup of coffee. Of course, you can always come by on Sunday mornings, and we can meet face-to-face, 10:25 on Sundays. Thanks again for watching.